Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 48 of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. I'm Mike Ferguson, and with me, as always, is my partner in true crime, Mike Santa Gibson. Gibby, what's going on?
Ho, ho, ho.
So you got the ho, ho, ho down.
Yeah, I wanted to do it slow, you know, make sure that I could...
that you could get it out?
Yeah.
You got the bowl full of jelly down.
Bowl full of jelly.
And you're just an all-around happy, good guy. So
yeah,
you could play Santa anywhere, man.
Yeah, I just got a six-pack, but that's all right.
All right.
Santa could have a six-pack.
You can pad it with like a pillow.
Yeah, I put a little pillow underneath there.
Just like Santa.
Yeah, just a really good shape Santa.
Magic Mike Santa.
Magic Mike Santa, that's right.
All right, Gibbs, let's start out with some new Patreon supporters. We had Stacy.
Just Stacy.
Just Stacy. But Stacy's enough.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. Stu Watson, Dava Girl.
Dava.
With a V.
Dava.
Dava.
Yeah.
Tracy Kidd jumped out at our highest level.
Sweet.
Danielle Renteria.
Renteria. It's
Michelle Anderson.
Michelle.
Cornell Felton jumped out at our highest level.
Future lawyer.
Future lawyer, if not already a lawyer. Alexander Eid.
You sure?
Or I'm going with that. It might be Eid, and I hate to get it wrong. Alexander jumped out at our highest level. He just found the show not that long ago and has been interacting a lot. He really likes it. So awesome that he would jump out and support us like that.
That's cool.
Alyssa Drescher.
Fran.
I'm sure she, I'm related sure to? Nobody's ever said that before.
It's the first time she heard that one.
If she's related to Fran, I'm sure. Victoria Mortimer. Karen Braun, who, I forget what country Karen's from, but she has two other names in between, and I couldn't say either one of them.
Oh, it's like a double hyphenated?
I don't even know if it was hyphenated. It was, these were like Nordic, I think.
And the word Braun means, you know, strength, right?
Yeah, it's not spelled the same, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I didn't even want to try to...
She probably hurt you.
I was going to butcher them, and I just didn't want to do that. Luckily...
She's probably related to the Vikings.
I know, and I didn't want to take that chance. I don't need that. Don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
I don't need that.
You don't need that.
We had Rachel Poole, Nathan Hefner, Shannon Leary, Sarah Joy...
Happy, happy.
To the world. Tracy Keats.
Keats? Nice.
Maja Backman. And then we had something amazing happen, Gibbs, that I want to talk about. I received an email from a Canadian listener, and she wanted to support the show. So she came out supporting at our highest level, but she wanted to remain anonymous, and she wanted me to send some goodies to Deanna Smiley in California. And this all came from a few episodes ago. Deanna left a voicemail. She's a huge fan of the show. She's on social media all the time. And I think she listens with her husband, Andrew, I believe is his name. But Deanna left the voicemail saying, you know, she wanted to be a Patreon supporter, but they didn't really like to put their credit card information out on the net. I get that. And this woman from Canada just was so kind of caught up with that voicemail that this is what she wanted to happen.
It truly is a Christmas miracle.
It
Timmy.
Is. It is.
Yeah.
It's so amazing because we're getting ready to put out this holiday episode.
Right.
I get this email during the week. It's kind of like kismet.
Kismet?
I don't really know. It's like fate, right? Fate, kismet.
I thought you said kiss some mittens. No. I wasn't sure what you were saying there.
I would never say that to you.
I hope not, because, you know.
Especially to you. But I just thought it was...
I accept any challenge.
It was a really cool thing, especially, you know, at this holiday season.
It is. It's kind of like Charles Dickens wrote it.
Maybe he did.
He could have.
And it's coming to life.
Yeah.
And if we go back into the Patreon vault... So this week we picked Maggie. Not the Maggie that helps out on the show.
Nope.
Different Maggie. Longtime supporter... Month after month, been with us forever, and just want to give a huge shout out to her.
Appreciate it, just Maggie.
And then something else happened this week. We received a very large donation on PayPal, and the person wanted to remain completely anonymous. Basically, you know, like a secret Santa. And what this person wrote was that, you know, they really felt bad about the Patreon snafu. They felt bad that we lost, you know, a good amount of support, and they were trying to make up for it. That's just really, really cool when something like that happens and people, they don't have to do any of this.
No.
They're doing it out, you know, of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it out of the fact that they like what we do. And all of that just, we say it all the time, blows us away.
Love it. Appreciate it.
We're blown away. But I want to give a huge thanks to everybody that has supported us over 2017. It's been an amazing year. It really has. I mean, the podcast has grown exponentially since we started.
I'm going to give an enormous thank you.
To who?
Everybody.
Oh.
You said huge. I'm going to go enormous.
I should have said huge.
Huge.
It's huge. But we couldn't do it without all of the support we get. And I'm not just talking about financially, right? We, you know, Patreon, PayPal, all of that is great. But social media as well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the closed Facebook group.
Yep.
All of that stuff has grown.
All of it.
People are telling their friends. You know, I get emails. I get so many instant messages. And
the call line really took off.
Yeah, we get a lot more voicemails. It's just,
no, the other call line, we're party line.
The 900 party yeah. line that you yeah. set up the, on your own.
1-900 call Gibby. That you don't get the party line on.
You don't cut me in for any of that.
I don't want you to know about it. Yeah. Don't worry. I don't know if it's anybody really connected to the podcast. It's some really strange questions that I get.
That actually probably would make quite a bit of money. You should look into setting that up.
Yeah.
Then I do want to give a great big shout out to Maggie. You know, Maggie has helped us tremendously over the year. It's just been a huge help.
Yeah, Maggie has really helped a lot with the TCAT episodes.
Yeah, really, it really just can't be overstated how much value that Maggie has brought. So big, big thanks. So we wanted to do something a little different, right? We're not doing a true crime episode.
We're not.
We're doing some holiday ramblings.
What did I research all that stuff for?
I just wanted to throw you off. I wanted to make sure you were fresh.
I was ready to do this big Zodiac episode.
Plus, I want to make sure that you don't lose your skills. You got to keep your skills sharp.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And I didn't want this to be a full-blown Q&A episode. We did one of those, right, earlier in the year. I wanted this to be holiday-themed. So we did put out, though, if anybody had questions, and we did make a big list of questions.
Yeah, we got a mix of holiday questions and just
other types of questions.
Other types of questions.
That was yours. You know, one of the ones that I did like, it was, what is your favorite holiday family tradition?
What is it?
Oh, you want me to go first?
Absolutely.
So mine might be a little different than some, but one side of my family, my mom's side, every year, Christmas, we would get together at her house with my grandparents and my two uncles and my aunts, and we would play this card game called Rook. And I don't know if you've ever played it, Gibbs.
I've heard of Rook.
It's not a card game that I don't think a lot of, like, super popular, right? It's not hearts or spades, and it's played with a very specific deck of cards. And Rook is like the Big Daddy Trump. It's like a bird.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a spades game or a trump game, something like that. And Dad, just remember that since I was a little kid. That was like the best thing in the world to me. I couldn't wait for Christmas. Now, I wanted my presents. Don't get me wrong. I like to open me some presents.
Yeah.
But there was something magical about sitting around, because I was the only kid. So I'm sitting around with all these adults, and they're, you know, had taught me the game from a very early age. And of course, I would cry when I lost. And a lot of times I think they let me win when I was young. But as I got older, I mean, we got competitive. And I, you know, me, I don't like to lose.
Nope.
And I will throw a tantrum.
You do.
Or not now. I used to.
Oh, the other day, you're like on the floor bouncing around.
I was at the mall, which made it worse.
Yeah. But, yeah. Everybody's got to see it.
My wife wouldn't buy me an Auntie Anne's pretzel, and I just laid down in the middle of the mall.
Her healthy regime. Regime. Yeah.
All right. So what about you?
You know, for me, it was going to my granny's every Christmas Eve.
Granny Gibson?
Granny Gibson. Yeah. She always made the peanut butter fudge, the chocolate fudge, the potato candy, the
The heck is potato candy?
Oh, man. Potato candy is the best, man. It's like put a little bit of potato in it. I guess the starch helps it out or something, but it's just like got a lot of powdered sugar in it and egg whites.
Powdered sugar and potato.
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow the potato does something to it. Helps it stiff. I don't know. But anyway.
You just ate it. You don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like this white stuff, and then she spread peanut butter on top of it, and then she rolls it up and chops it, you know.
It sounds really good.
It is,
it's
actually.
Potato with some white stuff.
You don't
stuff.
Taste any potato, but it's just like.
You didn't even say, like, what the white stuff is. Well, it's just some white stuff on white the top stuff. Of
I don't know.
It.
Powdered sugar mixed with something. Well, with potato.
With potato.
The recipe calls for, like, one potato.
For this whole batch.
In this whole batch.
Candy,
yeah. So that was in her peanut butter fudge is like to die for. I mean, my dad still makes it to this day. And people, you know, he used to have a couple.
Come from miles
they
around.
Do, man. He used to have a couple offices.
To get the Gibson family
and
fudge.
So he would always hand it out to people that worked for him. And then when he retired, people still call him and like, hey, you make any of that fudge? They want it, man. It's that good.
So you're. Family tradition seems to center around a lot of treats and sweets and
pretty much.
I mean, being with your grandma, granny, I get that.
Yeah, she was the best ever.
You did talk a lot about sweet stuff.
Yeah. Well, she, you know what? And this is how good she was. So
she could take a potato and make it into some candy.
She making the candy. Yeah. So she had a stroke when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back then when they didn't have them.
Right. More, probably more debilitating.
Yeah. So she could never use her one arm. And she can never speak. You know, she could try to say something, but you really didn't know what you had to like.
Oh, so she was pretty bad off.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So she never recovered from that. But still, she knew how to make that damn candy, made it the best it was ever. I mean, it was always like the best.
Even almost like one-armed.
Yeah, yeah. She still made it for us. And every time we saw her for holidays and birthday, she would do this thing where she'd come up like nobody was watching her. And she, with her one good hand, she'd have a $5 bill in it, and she'd like tap the outside of your hand and like slide the $5 to you.
On the sly?
Yep, and give you that little look, and shh, don't tell anybody, you know? You're like, oh man, she's the best.
Grandmas are the best. My grandma on my dad's side, who's actually still alive, she's the only grandparent that I have still living.
Wow.
She makes this amazing red velvet cake. And now red velvet's very popular. I mean, you see it all the time, like in cupcake stores.
Everything's red velvet.
But back in the day, I never saw red velvet anywhere.
I didn't know what the heck it was.
Except when she would make it. I mean, this was 40 years ago she was making it.
Yeah.
But that was always, you know, going to her house, I knew I was going to have red velvet cake, and I was looking forward to that.
That kind of answers one of the questions somebody asked us. How did we spend our holidays as kids? And I started off Christmas Eve, go to my granny's, Granny Gibson, and then we'd roll out of there and then go to my mom's side to my aunt's house, which that was crazy because my aunt didn't know how to say no to spending. So
she went overboard.
Oh, I mean, her garage would be stuffed full of presents. I'm talking floor to ceiling.
That's the kind of relatives you like to have around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not always for us, but
for somebody.
But somebody, I just always remember seeing that going, oh my gosh, man.
Mine was a little different.
A lot of presents.
My parents were divorced.
Yeah.
So, and then got remarried. So I had like 75,000 places to go over Christmas because grandparents, and I've got, you know, multiple sets of grandparents, and it was just a very hectic. I mean, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, but it was just hectic time.
That movie, Four Christmases.
Never saw it.
Oh, you didn't see that with the little tall guy?
Oh, that tall guy?
Yeah, and Reese Witherspoon. I don't remember the tall guy.
The tall guy and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, the tall guy. He's like, you know what I'm talking about? Come on. The real tall guy.
There's a lot of real tall guys.
He's in that movie, like Google.
Oh, Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
You can't think of Vince Vaughn?
I couldn't. Yeah. Vince Vaughn and
you
Reese Witherspoon.
Son of a bitch.
I know it.
Love Vince Vaughn. That real tall guy.
That real tall guy.
He's not even that tall. I think he's like 6'4".
Oh, he's taller than that. He's like 6'8".
No.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google that.
He's like Shaq.
No. He's 7 foot
Shaq.
One.
Yeah.
That real tall guy. I guess he would be real tall to you.
Hey, now. I'm 6, Boom. Right there.
Six. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah. If you're six, I'm 6'6".
There you go. All right. I'm 5'11".
I was taller when I had hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lost an inch or two.
Yes, you did. That's what I heard.
when I lost my hair. So, I don't know, Gibbs, let's talk about, do you have a favorite Christmas ever?
I was pretty lucky. I had a really good childhood.
Yeah,
so I had really a lot of too. I had a lot of good Christmases, and as an adult, I had some really good ones. Probably one that stands out is when my little niece. I've got a lot of nieces, but my youngest one on my wife's side, her first Christmas, she spent it with us.
Really?
Yeah, and it was really cool. Really cool. I really enjoyed being there for her.
Yeah, that is awesome. It's going to make mine seem like much more materialistic.
Nah, man.
So when I was a little kid, it was only one thing in the world I wanted, and it was an Atari. You know, my friends had Atari. I just wanted Atari so bad. I mean, I told my parents, I don't care if you get me anything else. I just want an Atari.
I thought it was going to be the Oscar Mayer weenie whistle.
No, not, or the, what's the one from A Christmas Story? The Dakota ring?
Yeah.
For me, it was Atari 2600. That was it.
Attention shoppers. The new Atari cartridge game is in.
Excuse me.
Uh-oh. George again.
Ooh, Atari's ASCII battle.
It comes with 27 games, but that's just for starters. You can get 9 cartridges, 187
Ooh,
games.
Blackjack.
Oh. I'd like an Atari.
Sorry. Only our demonstrators left.
Mine!
No, George. Mine.
The new video computer system by Atari. More games, more fun.
So that was an actual, I went on YouTube to see if I could find one. That was an actual commercial from 1977, the year Star Wars came out.
Is that when Star Wars came out?
Yeah, for Atari. I don't know what year Atari, it probably did come out. That was probably one of the first years it was out. And I don't remember what year I got mine. I just remember it being the coolest thing. And now they have the throwback. You can buy them, plug right into your TV. It's not the same.
But. No, you get pretty boring, I would think.
Well, if you looked at the graphics from back then, it's like some stick figure.
Yeah. Because I remember the first video game I had was, Pong. I don't know if it was Atari. Yeah, Pong, going back and forth. It's like, now you'd be like, really? That was what we did?
Yeah, I mean, the 50s were, that was such a strange time.
Well, you know, you catch it. Yeah. Nice. But also, do you remember the little handheld football game?
Yeah, Coleco.
Yeah.
Coleco football is white.
Yeah, and it had a little dash thing that you just move your finger real fast and move up and down.
So I had one. I got a story about it.
And I had one, and then a couple years ago, I got another one because I just wanted to like relive the memory of playing that.
Okay, so that goes in with my story. I had the original when I was a kid, and my mom was getting rid of a bunch of stuff, and she said, hey, come over and get your stuff. So I got it. I put it on eBay, sold it for like $250.
Man.
Like 3 months later, I was at some department store and they had it in a sealed thing. They'd just come out with like a remake of it.
Right. I bought mine off of eBay for $250.
No. Yeah. You're playing my Coleco football. So what if you went back? Let me ask you this. Go back. Let's say you were 10.
Okay.
Right now.
Right.
Back in the day.
Back in my husky self.
And your husky jeans.
Yeah.
And you saw like a Call of Duty game, you would just be blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, talking graphic wise.
Oh.
Between like what we had back then and.
If I'm sitting there playing my little.
The football game has like, it's a blip.
Yeah.
And you just, all you can do is move it like.
And then next to me, somebody's got Madden.
The real Madden of today.
I'd be like, what?
Man, I tell you, video game wise, man, kids. And then with the internet and playing against people, you know, all over the world.
Really? The virtual gaming? So they put that little mask on their face and it's like they're in the game?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a virtual set, but it's for something else.
Yeah,
for gaming.
Well, you know, don't be jealous. Don't be hating.
Don't be jelly.
So do you remember the other football game where you'd have the vibrating, I don't know what it was called, it was like just a piece of sheet metal that vibrated and you had your little pieces that.
And wherever they went, they went.
Yeah.
You'd have to stop it and line them back up again.
Yeah, line them back up in and do it again.
Oh, those were the days, man. You could have fun with the like the silliest, most simple game.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Slinkies way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were people that would just play on the stairs with a slinky.
How pissed were you if you got one and you were in a one-story home? You'd be like, well, I can't even do anything with it.
I mean, no, my kids would never sit there all day and play with a slinky.
No.
They'd be watching their iPhone, doing something on the iPad, and let the slinky go down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I guess this kind of goes into what is the best Christmas gift you ever received? And I know for me, Gibbs, it was about, well, I can say it was exactly 23 years ago, I'm thinking. My wife and I were dating, and Christmas was coming up, and she bought me I always had this gold chain that my mom had bought me. I've still wear it. I've worn it since high school.
Yeah.
And she bought me a University of Kentucky UK pendant, gold pendant. And I still wear it today. Best gift I ever got.
Did you go to UK?
No. I just like UK.
Did you ever live in Kentucky?
I have a house in Kentucky.
Did you ever live in Kentucky?
Yeah. Not as my sole residence. All my family's from Kentucky.
I know.
One half is from Kentucky. The other's from Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing we got in common. We both got family that grew up in Kentucky.
So that was just a really cool gift. And
that is,
you know,
cool.
That was before we got married. And now, you know, we've been married 22 years. So
22 years?
22 years.
He's put up with you that long?
I know. It's amazing.
That is amazing, right? That's a Christmas miracle.
Amazing
right
that I got married when I was 7, too. So,
well,
I'm only 29.
And she's older than you, too.
She is.
I'll leave it at that.
All right. So what do you got?
My favorite gift? You know, probably my first knife. I got a...
Wasn't a K-bar, I bet.
No,
not for your first. You can't go K-bar your first.
No, it was like a 3.5-inch knife blade. It was about 3.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from my uncle.
Was it a folding?
No.
Drop blade?
Yeah. It was from my...
Like a sheath?
It did come in a sheath. Yeah. It was from my favorite uncle. You know, he engraved the back of the sheath, carved it in. We were really close, so it meant a lot to me that he gave me something like that, because even he asked my parents, and they're like, no. Yeah. Don't give that, you know.
Like the Red Ryder BB gun?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll stab his eye out.
But that's really cool. And you're getting very sentimental here.
Yeah.
But no, it's awesome that we have those type of memories. The downside, I guess, of it is he just didn't know what he was going to create.
No.
By giving you that...
He didn't.
That first knife. Somebody actually did ask on the page, does Gibby really own a K-bar, or... is this just something that he's always wanted? And I can vouch that Gibby owns at least one K-bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Real, real K-bar.
Don't believe me? Come check me out.
A lot of people message us about, what is a K-bar?
I know. I guess there's some like...
Probably, especially in other countries.
European candy bar, or down in Australia or somewhere.
Means something else, right?
Yeah, there's actually a K-bar candy bars, which they look... kind of weird, too, by the way. They were like fruit candy bars.
Were they potato-based?
Potato-based.
With a little fruit on top and some white stuff.
You wait. I'm gonna go make some potato candy, and you'll be like, this is the best stuff ever.
It's the best potato candy I've ever had.
Yeah.
I can guarantee it's probably going to be the best potato candy I've ever had.
So you could make fun of it. What's your most favorite either Christmas cookie or candy or both?
Yeah, for me, I'm not a real big candy sweet guy. I'm more of a salty,
yeah,
savory type of guy. But, you know, that red velvet cake's up there. My wife actually makes a really good pumpkin roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that I like, with like the cream cheese in the inside.
Did she make it, or did she tell you she makes it?
No, she makes it. I've seen her make it.
Okay.
Just checking. She doesn't buy it and then unwrap it and say, honey, I made this.
You unroll it, and then wait till you come in the door and start rolling it back up again.
Well, maybe that's what she does. I don't know. But it's actually really good.
Yeah, I like, well, besides what I already about my granny's fudge and
potato.
My mom, for whatever reason, man, she makes these chocolate crinkles.
That was a chocolate
crinkle.
Man,
they are the best. I just, because I grew up with them. And so you got to know mom.
Do you live in like a fantasy land? I've never heard of any of this
stuff.
Man.
Yeah, we knew Willy Wonka and all that.
Chocolate crinkle.
So it's just like a.
It's a crinkled
like
potato.
A brownie cookie-ish kind of a thing. And it has like cracks on the top. And then you put like the like powdered sugar. You dust it with powdered sugar on top.
You guys eat a lot of powdered sugar.
We did eat a lot of powdered sugar.
You know what you should do? You should get a job working for one of these big food companies.
Yeah.
Doing commercials describing the food.
It's got a lot of powdered sugar.
You're really good at Really getting to the nitty gritty on what this thing's like.
All I can tell you, people know. It's crinkle. Believe me, it's a Christmas cookie. It's all the chocolate crinkle. Betty Crocker's cookbook has them in there.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah.
So I can Google it.
You can and Google I'm it and you see it. Yeah.
Chocolate crinkle.
I like chocolate, though.
I do like chocolate. Like I said, I'm not a huge sweet person, but yeah, I like chocolate stuff.
No, my mom always burnt her cookies.
On purpose?
No, she just burnt them.
There's some people that like them burnt.
If she listens, she doesn't listen, but if she happens to listen to this one, she'll be like, not happy that I said that, but it's the truth, Mom. I'm one of the strange ones. I actually prefer burnt cookies.
You like a lot of stuff burnt.
Because I grew up with a lot of burnt food.
Again, so, your mom is not going to be happy.
No, but she hears about this. She did like make sure everything was like done.
She did. She was worried about things being undercooked.
Yeah, so yeah. Hamburgers were well done.
My dad steaks, literally wants well done. Them. He wants them on fire, and he wants them completely charred.
Yeah.
Like a puck, like a hockey
puck.
Well,
that's how my mom was. Yeah. Yeah, she wanted to make sure we weren't going to get sick off anything, so you had a little crunch with your meal.
So what about a gift that you wanted that you didn't get?
I wanted some jarts, but I didn't get them.
Was that before they outlawed them, stopped making them?
It was before that, but it was after I played with the neighbor's jarts and put one through the roof.
Ah, so yeah, if you don't know what jarts are, Google them, because like one of the most dangerous toys ever made.
Yeah.
You could literally, it was like a medieval weapon.
They were so fun, though.
They were fun.
You know?
But there's a lot of people that got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, I thought you were saying jorts. Like, you were playing with the neighbor's kid's jorts, and I was like...
Jarts.
Where is this story going, Gibbs?
Yeah.
Let's get back on
track.
That's
another story.
Jorts. You'd probably wear a jort. I bet you wear jorts.
I don't know what they are, but...
Jean shorts. You don't know what jorts are?
Yeah, I used to wear jean shorts back in the day.
Well, I did too back in the day.
Yeah, I don't wear them today.
No, I think you still have some.
I might have them. I don't know. Cutoffs.
I can't believe you didn't know what jorts were.
Shorty shorts.
You probably wear Daisy Duke.
I do. Jorts. Give me a pair of Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Duke jorts with the fringe. You let the fringe hang down.
Makes me feel good.
Sexy. Makes me feel sexy.
Why do I feel like Travis is going to do like something with me with Dukes of Hazzard jeans on shorts?
I wouldn't put it past him. So I remember as a kid, I think it was Rocky III that, you remember Rocky III? That was one with Mr. T in it.
Yeah.
So Rocky was rich by that point.
Right.
And he had, for Christmas, he got a robot, like a real robot.
Yeah. I remember that.
I wanted that robot.
You wanted that, huh?
Yeah. And of course, I'm sure it was not real. They made it for the movies, but I didn't know that.
You don't know that.
And I wanted my mom and dad to get me that robot.
And they didn't get it for you.
I didn't get that robot. What I did get a robot. It was this little kind of small robot. So it had a real like remote control. So it would go away from you a little bit and you could press a button, talk into the remote control, and it would come out of the robot.
So that's cool. So you could like walk it 3 feet away.
And say, Mom, I need a Pepsi.
Yeah. And she's like, I heard you when you said it the first time.
It didn't have real long range.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't that advanced back then.
You always had a problem with long range.
But it was a cool toy for the day.
So one question was, what is your favorite holiday song or holiday carol?
I think I can sum that up in a clip, Gibbs.
The Bangles, Sting, Run DMC, The Judds, John Cougar Mellencamp, Stevie Nicks, Michael McDonald, U2, and more in an all-new holiday special. Santa Claus is rocking to town with Top of the Pops.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
A very special Christmas Wednesday.
So, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Run DMC.
That's it right there.
I don't even know if that's a real song. I just found that clip. I thought it was funny.
You liked it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had to go favorite holiday song, I would go... First of all, it has to be sung by Elvis. And I think I'll go White Christmas, but it has to be Elvis.
I'll go with Drummer Boy with Bowie.
No, that one's good.
Yeah.
That one's different. That one's out there.
Yeah.
It's not like traditional.
But I like the Drummer Boy.
Yeah. He did, you know, he did some, speaking of that clip, he did some specials where he did Drummer Boy. They were really good.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge Bowie fan. I never was.
I think he hooked up with...
Elton John one time.
Elton John, but he also hooked up with Bing Crosby.
And Danny F and K.
I don't know who Danny F and K.
You'd be whistling zippity doo dah to your asshole.
Nice.
Speaking of holiday traditions, that's gotta be on top of the list for me.
Which one? Whistling out of your ass?
You don't even know what that's from? Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation, yeah.
I don't know what it is about that movie. As a kid, I loved Chevy Chase.
It's in my top five.
I really did. I was a big fan of Chevy Chase. Fletch.
Oh, I love Fletch 1. Fletch 2, I don't know.
It's all right with Fletch 2. But yeah. I don't really like Chevy Chase and, Vacation. Didn't we just talk about Vegas Vacation?
I think we did.
On just last week's episode?
Yeah.
But, Christmas Vacation for me, I mean, you have the guy from Big Bang's in it.
Oh, it's Johnny.
Johnny Galecki.
Yeah, he plays a little Rusty.
Rusty. And Juliette Lewis, and she went on to do a bunch of stuff.
She did.
Natural Born Killers. Yeah.
And you had Elaine living across next door.
The mom from Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, there's a lot of people in that
movie.
Yeah,
there really was.
That you didn't know at the time would go on to do big shows.
I still love the freeze everybody. And she puts her hand on his crotch and holds it there forever, man.
Cousin Eddie's my favorite.
Yeah. And I also like... I'd beat you with a rubber hose.
How many times I've said shitter's full in his voice.
Shitter's full?
I'd be a millionaire.
You probably would be. You do say that.
I say it a lot.
Is that your favorite Christmas movie?
Yeah, I would say it probably is. I mean, I like some of the traditional ones. It's a Wonderful Life. I can watch those.
Yeah.
But I like Christmas Vacation. It's funny.
As far as on the comedy side, that's my favorite. Just Christmas movies in general, probably White Christmas with Bing. That's probably my number one.
Really pushing the Bing Crosby today, aren't you?
I am. I'm really trying to sell that, aren't I? Yeah. And I love Actually. Some reason I really like that. I don't know. You're going to give me shit about it.
But, is that Hugh What's His Nuts?
Yeah. Yeah, Hugh What's His Nuts. Yeah, it's a European Christmas kind of a...
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah. Well, you probably wouldn't have because it's not your type of movie.
Now, you shouldn't say that. I watch a lot of movies like that with my wife.
Yeah. thanks for adding that in there.
Don't watch them by myself.
Yeah.
But I watch them with... And actually, some of them I really enjoy.
Nice.
Or at least I tell her I do.
Sure you do. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to have to watch it, just like I got to watch Mr. Limpet, the fish man, or whatever the heck it is.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Everybody
man.
Loves it.
That's good stuff.
Everything we saw on social media was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you haven't seen that. You got to watch it. It's just one another movie I got to watch. So we've talked a little bit about what we like, Gibbs. What is there anything you don't like about the holidays?
My credit card bill.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think my wife and I talk about it all the time. We go overboard, and I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're one of those families that can set a limit and you're very, very judicious, I don't even know if that's the right word, but with gifts and, the kids really appreciate the X number of gifts that they get. Man, I'm in awe of you.
Yeah.
Because I wish we could do that because I think it becomes, Christmas anyway is so commercial. And then it's like an arms race, I feel like, because every year you're trying to either outdo yourself or, find something that's going to blow everybody away. And that usually means more money.
Yeah, I give in to guilt.
And that's not what Christmas is about, but I mean, no. We do it.
I really like back in the day when you actually just went out and picked up something that you thought somebody would like. And then it shifted to now you get these lists with very detailed information. Mm-hmm. And then it went to, if not that, just gift cards. And
that's all my kids want.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just like someone handing you $100 or something said Merry Christmas.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Well, and I have two girls and they're, they're getting to be teenagers. So between them and my wife, it's just a constant, everybody knows what they're getting. Half the time they go out and buy it together.
Right.
There's really not, I miss the days when they were young where it was a real surprise, right? And you could see it in their eyes. They didn't know what they were getting. Now it's they open it, and it's like, oh, I remember when we got that.
Yeah.
That's what Christmas is.
That's what I like. My wife is big on putting things in gift bags, and I hate that because it's so easy, And I get it. It's the reason she likes it. It's just easy.
Because it's easy.
So, I don't know, last few years, I just, I like the wrap stuff, man.
So you're just seeing how many family members you can just throw under the bus, aren't you?
Merry effing Christmas.
Everybody's going to be pissed at you.
Oh,
Your mom can't cook and burns everything.
Oh, she fed me, man.
Your wife is too lazy to wrap presents.
My mom was a good
cook. Now you're backpedaling. I get
She's
you.
She's a good cook. She just Like the even meat, that, the meat kinda, was well done.
You tempered that and had a hard time getting
I
it out.
I did.
Yeah. No, I'm just messing with you. But you did throw quite a number of people under the bus. Yeah,
well, you know.
But I do. I mean, I love the holidays. I love this time of year. I wish it would snow because we actually do usually get some snow.
Yeah, we normally get a
it's
little
like
bit.
Almost 50 degrees here.
I know. Tomorrow's supposed to be 50 again.
Very strange for this time of year.
Yeah. Got my shorts on. My
I think
jean
it's
shorts.
That global warming.
Well, they said they just heard some magma.
Piping hot magma.
Magma coming up over there by the like Virginia area.
Who said that? Al Gore?
No. No. It was actually on the regular news.
I don't watch the news. It's too depressing.
Some scientist discovered it. Bill Nye, the science guy. I don't know what that means for us.
Well, I don't think it's good. Is it a good sign that we have magma?
I don't know. It makes you want to do that. You know, Austin Powers.
I just said it. Piping hot magma. Oh, yeah. You didn't even get it.
It all comes together now.
You didn't even get it.
It comes together.
I'm throwing these movie references out at you, and you're like, what?
What? I am, you know, Gibby. You know, it takes me a little bit of time to click in.
Get your movies straight.
Get my movies straight.
You know, speaking of talents, you know, you have a talent for movies, knowing what they're called, knowing who's in them. Everybody knows that. It's no secret.
Nail it.
What are your hidden talents?
Hidden talents? That we're allowed to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that are like A1 top government clearance. Not those.
Not that kind of stuff.
Not the stuff you do on the side.
Not that one thing that happened in you know where at one time?
Right.
With you know who?
Can't talk about that.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I got nothing.
You got no hidden, you don't have a single hidden talent.
It's all out there. What about you?
I'll sing in the shower.
You sing everywhere.
I do. I do like to sing.
I sing in the shower too, but that's where it stops.
I'm not really that talented.
Really?
Maybe neither one of us are that talented.
We're just sound like a couple boring podcast guys.
I think that's what we are. We're family guys, man. That's it. Yeah. Who like to talk about true crime.
You do strum the guitar, or you did. I don't know. I've been coming here for a year in the studio and look across, and you have these two very high-end guitars that just lean up against the wall. Yeah, I have yet to see you pick them up.
I have a Fender Stratocaster that hasn't moved since since little, you started coming over.
A little dust on top, you know? Otherwise,
I don't play them a lot.
I remember used to be into fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like to fish a lot.
Yeah.
And I shoot competitively.
Yeah, you used to shoot competitive.
I haven't, not much anymore since we started the podcast. No, but
you've got all the equipment for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I'm into competition shooting. I do like that. Sport. I mean, I've always liked sports. I played basketball and baseball and football. And I know you wrestled in high school.
Wrestled, right? Played football. Yeah.
Wore tights? Or did you wear the required uniform?
I wore what you had to wear.
What movie is that from?
I don't know.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Come on, man.
Oh, man.
You're losing your movie credentials fast.
I am. I expected more out of a varsity. Yeah.
Letterman.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get it. I had such high hopes that you were
going to nail that. I know. I'm not that fast tonight, man. I ran track and field, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Now, see, that's something I never did like to run. We had to run a lot for basketball, and I hated running.
Yeah.
I don't mind running during a game. Just to run?
Yeah, I did.
No, I can't stand
100 meter and 200 meter dash. Fast.
You don't look like a fast guy to me.
I was, man. I wasn't as fast as the other people up on the line with me.
That you were running against?
Yeah, but I was fast. It's like, hey, I'm right here with you.
But didn't you compare yourself against the other people that you were running against?
I did. I was in the middle. I wasn't going to get a scholarship, put it that way. I wasn't the guy at the end, though.
Well, you didn't need one. I mean, you had an academic ride to Harvard. I don't know why you didn't go.
You know, I thought it was better to go to community college.
You could have been a professor of English by this time, you know.
Professor or something.
Tenured.
Yeah, something. Tenure or something.
Oh, my gosh. All right, what else? What other questions? We've got some other questions, Gibbs. They're not really holiday related. Somebody asked, you know, how do you guys balance work, podcast, family? This is a really good question. Have you ever missed an important event because of the workload? And I mean, I'll say it's tough. There's no doubt about it. Having the full-time type of jobs that we do that are not, you know, kind of punch in, punch out jobs.
Right.
And then this is almost like another full-time job that we do at night. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. We put a lot of hours in at work, and then, you know, especially you, I mean, you really had a lot on your plate at one point when you were doing both of TCAT, TCAT Unsolved, Criminology and that other podcast that you did for a little bit.
With Aphrodite.
With Aphrodite.
Yeah. Still, Criminologies, we're going to start that back up pretty soon.
Yeah, but that was a lot on your plate at that time.
It was.
And everything else going on, so...
I can't say that I've ever missed an important event, like a birth. I've never missed a birthday or
no. I remember we were
something
at
like that.
Crime Con, and you were able to meet everybody, have fun, and then you're able to you took off and was able to be with your wife on her big birthday.
Yep, we kind of slipped out a little early, and
yeah, and you were able to
surprise my wife, her birthday,
which was nice. You know, with the podcast, I haven't missed anything. You know, but. You know, back in the day, man, before this job that I'm in now, I had another job, and I did, man. I missed some of my kids' important events, and I said I'd never do that again, man.
Yeah, no, I get that. I've never wanted a job where, and a lot of people have these jobs, and they probably love them, and they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, where you're traveling around for sales, and maybe you're gone at long periods of time, that's just something I couldn't do. Yeah. And I like to be at home. I like to be with my family. Now, what I will say that the podcast has done is it's caused me to miss some of the extracurriculars that I used to do.
Right.
So I don't play golf as much. You know, I mentioned competitive shooting. I don't do that as much. I don't get to fish as much. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't get to do my sculpting that I used to do.
Mm-hmm. Your nude modeling.
My
I know
nude
it's
modeling
gone way
really,
down.
Really went, yeah.
It took a big hit. And you're making some nice coin.
Coin.
As a nude model.
Yeah, I was making a few...
Shillings?
Shillings.
Trying to think of a word.
You know, we still always get asked, where do we meet? And I know we covered that last time, but mm-hmm. It still comes around. And we actually, me and Mike met at work.
Yep, we did.
Mike actually hired me.
Many, many, many years ago.
Yeah. And that's how we met.
Been friends ever since. You know, the other question we got, and I don't know if we're repeating ourselves or not, Gibbs, whether we covered some of these on the Q&A, but that's fine because we have a lot of new listeners that may not have listened to that. But one of the questions that we get asked a lot is, what case got to you the most?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually just did an interview with the Minds of Madness.
Yeah.
And talked about that. And I'll give them a shout out. If you're not listening to the Minds of Madness, go out and check it out. But we did a quick interview with Beck, and it was that Melissa Huckabee, I think, is the one that really got to us the most. The murder of Sandra Cantu by Melissa Huckabee.
It was definitely the worst for me.
I remember.
And I think one of the other questions was somebody said, can you get PTSD? And
like PTSD?
Didn't I say PTSD?
I don't know. It sounded like you said PD, like PD from the Little Rascals.
can you get a little PD?
I think you said PTSD.
Yeah.
I think you said it. It just
I did. I didn't say it so together. Fast. Yeah.
I just got to give you a hard time. Yeah. That's my job.
So they definitely can mess you up a little bit. I don't think it gets like that. You know, that's something. I mean, those folks that get PTSD, man, that's some serious stuff.
You did it again. It really just rolled the
did
shit
I?
Out of it.
Yeah. Just rolled it.
No, I agree with you. You know, PTSD, especially if you're talking, you know, military or a police officer that's involved in some kind of, you know, fatal shooting or something like that, or a survivor of some type of traumatic experience or event. Never would I say we get that, but it does affect you.
Yeah, it stays with you for a while.
And it affects people differently. There are cases that affect you longer than others. They don't affect me as much as they do Gibby. And I don't know what that says about me, good
or bad.
You're
pretty hard, man.
Yeah, it just doesn't. And some of the things that we talk about, they don't make me sick or...
You're like the Tin Man.
I don't have a heart.
You don't. Squeak, squeak.
That wasn't the Tin Man, though.
Oh.
He was looking for a brain. I think that was
Scarecrow?
The lion.
Scarecrow.
Was it? No, it was the Scarecrow?
Yeah, we don't know. It was Scarecrow. No, it was the Tin Man who was looking for a heart.
Was it?
Yeah. Scarecrow was looking for a...
A brain. What was the lion looking for?
Courage.
Courage. You're right.
Courage.
All right. You got that one.
There you go. Little movie
I hope
history.
So. I don't know. I'm going with you on it.
All right.
Going back to childhood, because we have been talking about childhood a lot. Somebody asked what crime from your childhood had an impact on you, or probably had the biggest impact.
I think the one that I recall was Jonestown.
That is so funny, because that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's the one, I think, because it was so much, you know, it was really, so the three or four stations we had back then.
Oh, very. It was on everything.
It was on everything. So I recall it. And they, you know, even back then they played a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time you're like, wow. I was really amazed by how many people would just follow somebody, yeah. you know, and do that kind of stuff.
You make a good point because it's not like today. I think today on the news, you see, it's like, I don't even watch the news because every night it is shooting, murder, this and that.
Right.
You know, we got 24-hour news networks. You can see that stuff everywhere you turn. Back then, you had the 6 o'clock local, I think, 7 o'clock national probably.
Yeah.
But it was all over, and it was pretty graphic.
It was graphic.
Back then.
I mean, I remember seeing the bodies laying down, and if I remember right, there was like a shootout at the
plane
with the senator or whatever.
We are going to do that, because that is a story that I think we should do. So that's just kind of strange that, I mean, we're close in age, so it's not outrageous that we would have the same one. You know, I wasn't alive when Manson did his thing. You know, even some of the ones that we talk about, I don't remember as a kid.
I mean, I think my parents did a pretty good job of
shielding
us, at least shielding me, my brothers from, you know, the local crime stuff. We didn't hear a lot about it.
All right, Gibbs. So I got to know, and this wasn't a question that was sent in. This is just a question I have for you. You remember as a kid, because they still play most of them. All the holiday specials, right? So you got Rudolph, you got Frosty, you've got Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, there's been a ton of them.
Yeah, there's like a dozen of them, right?
Yeah. So what's your favorite?
I got two.
I said, what's your favorite?
My favorite?
No, I'm saying you can say
probably.
Two.
I think it's called Santa Claus Coming to Town, or the one with Heat Miser. And
is that the one with the Baby New Year?
No, Baby New Year's a spinoff with Rudolph. Okay.
That's the one. That's mine.
I like
the
one.
The baby with the big ears?
Yeah.
I like that one.
I don't think that's the same. But the one with Santa's coming to town or not coming to town, I don't know. The one with
Mother Nature and Heat Miser.
He's
not coming to town.
You remember Heat Miser and Mr. Freeze?
I just don't know if they're all part of the same thing or these are different
ones.
I think they are different ones.
That's my favorite. Then right close behind it is Drummer Boy. I'm really into that Drummer Boy song, man.
Yeah, what is it with you and the Drummer Boy?
I just like that. You know that?
Why don't you sing us a little ditty?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to impress people too much with my vocalities.
Vocalities.
Yeah, write that down in your Gibtionary.
That's going to be on Gibby's new word of the day calendar.
That's
out
right.
First of the year.
Get it on Amazon.
Get it on True Crime All the Time.
Get it on True Crime All the Time.
If we're gonna sell it, man, we're gonna sell it on True Crime All the Time. Yeah. What about Lethal Weapon? Can I count Lethal Weapon as a Christmas movie?
I think you count Die Hard.
Oh, Die Hard. Yeah, even better.
At the Nakatomi Towers there.
Sakatumi.
That had, what's his name from Harry Potter in it?
Alan Rickman.
Who else was in that movie, Die Hard?
Who else was in it?
Yeah, famous.
That was famous.
Yeah.
The guy from Family Matters, the dad, he was in it.
Was he?
He played the cop.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Remember?
Yeah.
He was trying to get a Twinkie or
That's
something.
That's right.
His wife was pregnant.
Not a Twinkie. Like, he had, like, picked up like four or five.
He had some Twinkies.
He did, man.
Let's see. Who was famous in that movie?
So it was just Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman. And I don't think the limo driver stuck in the parking garage. He didn't.
No.
He wasn't famous.
Oh, so you don't have an answer to this.
I was just thinking, was there somebody else in there?
I'm really racking my brain. Like, am I missing somebody?
No.
I thought you were trying to stump me.
I was just throwing it out there. Hey, who else was famous?
I'm really like, Gibby knows this and I don't know it.
No.
So this question is a little different. You get one franchise. Makes it a little harder because you gotta pick from, because not all in the franchise might be good.
One movie franchise?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify. I was thinking food at first. I was like, man, that's so good.
I want a Wendy's.
I was like, I don't know. You wouldn't take Wendy's. You take Chipotle.
It's Chipotle.
I take Chick-fil-A on that.
Chipotle.
Chick-fil-A because I get Sundays off.
And you own it. What's the difference?
I'm off every day. If I got Chick-fil-A, they pulling the money, man.
All right, one movie franchise.
One movie franchise.
So you got to think how good they are. How many do you get?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you go Star Wars, you get a bunch of movies.
I'm not a big... I know people are going to be like, what? I'm not a big Star Wars person.
Yeah, I just saw the new one last night.
Not a big Star Wars, not a big Star Trek person.
Not a big Star Trek, but I love Star Wars. I mean, you got
Pirates of the Caribbean. I like Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, good.
Indiana Jones, Harry Potter.
Got Sean Connery. You know, I was watching the other day on YouTube. I was watching old Saturday Night Live skits. I just love to watch old Saturday Night Live skits. And I was watching the one where Will Ferrell plays Alex Trebek.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that plays Burt Reynolds.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Shit, I can't think of his name. But he writes his name as Turd Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I've always cracked up about
that. That's your nickname now. That. Turd.
Turd Ferguson.
He just did like some KFC commercials not too long. Yeah. Norm.
Yeah, Norm McDonald.
But that's not your
that's not my franchise.
Your friend. National Lampoon, that's a franchise.
Yep. There's a lot of them, really. You don't even think about how many different franchises there are.
Born Identity, you know, Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
Some good stuff there. Man, that's really tough to think about that.
Pick one.
I'm going to go with Godfather.
It's hard. It's hard not to. I will go with, if I just get one and that's all I get to watch, I'll probably go Star Wars.
Yeah.
Just because you get a bunch of movies.
You do get a bunch.
Nine, I guess now, if you count that Rogue One thing.
So you're going to count the spinoffs too?
But yeah.
So you go Harry Potter, get the 8, then you get the spinoffs, which add like 2 more right now. And
oh, I never saw any of those.
Yeah.
All right. That kind of led us down a weird road.
It did.
Because it takes you 5 minutes to figure out a movie.
I can't remember. I mean, this is great. Holiday special questions and things like that. But this year's almost over.
It is, man. It's going to be 2018.
Yeah. We're going to head into 2018. Pretty exciting year coming up. We've got some really good episodes we're going to lay out there. Some of the big names and then a lot of the not so well known.
I was going to say, we're really going to dig deep. We're getting a lot of great suggestions on cases I've never heard. So now, the caveat with that is there has to be enough out there, right?
Right.
That's what we run into, especially with the unsolved.
Yeah.
There's got to be enough out there to really do the research to get, you know, an hour and 15 or, you know, an hour's worth of...
Which is really difficult. I mean, until you do one, you really need about 3 hours to get it down to an hour.
Yeah, we've said that before. Now, we're getting a little bit better.
Right.
We've done, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. We're under 3 every time now.
Right.
But, you know, we do record for probably 5 hours at least to get 2 episodes.
That's not counting. And then you got all the research that you do. You know, Maggie helps out a lot with the solved.
Oh, definitely.
But we still have to, you know, even for that, you know, we do our own research.
Yep.
And then, of course, on Unsolved, we're doing all the research on that as well. So...
All right, Gibbs, I got this one. I thought of this one. If you had to, and I mean had to, you were forced to invite one serial killer to dinner with your family, who would it be?
Wow.
That's a tough one. Because you don't want any of them there.
No.
But
I know I don't want Dahmer because he'll eat everything.
Yeah.
But
I mean, everything.
Everything.
Now he's, okay, so caveat, he's not going to hurt anybody there.
Yeah. But we know what he does.
But you know what he's done.
Okay.
And he's going to talk about it. He's going to tell you the real story about it.
Some of these guys would have some pretty good stories. Not the kind you maybe want to hear, but they definitely would.
Oh, you'd be riveted.
Yeah. You'd be like, you know, like an Ed Gein, imagine.
Yeah.
Or
Gein.
Gein, yeah. Did I say Gein?
He did.
Yeah, Ed Gein.
So it's that thing we talk about, right? It's the macabre, it's the curiosity that we all have, especially listeners of true crime. You don't like what they did, you don't condone what they did, but to hear about it and try to figure out, you know, how could somebody do that? That's the part that's interesting to everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's glorifying what these people do. It's the fascination, and I hear it all the time. I get it in emails. All right, who's your?
I say Israel Keyes.
Israel Keyes.
Yeah,
I'm gonna dive into that mind.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to have a conversation with him.
You know, I can see that for sure. I mean, the guy was intelligent.
Yeah, so you can see that going well.
Yeah, between two very intelligent psychopaths.
Exactly, it would be a chess match.
It would be. It would be. I think I want to go Hannibal Lecter.
I thought you said real.
I never did.
You didn't say?
No. I do. I would love to sit and talk to Hannibal Lecter. That's a good franchise too. I never thought about that.
That's true. That
There's a bunch of those. So Hannibal Lecter, if I'm going fictional character.
Okay.
Although you know Dexter's in there too. But
well, I would have thought you would have went, if you're going to go fictional, I thought you would have went Dexter.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Hannibal Lecter would be a more interesting conversation.
Yeah.
For some reason. Although I do like Dexter. If I'm going real person, I think I would go Richard Ramirez.
Really?
And I know we haven't done him yet. We will. There's just something, there's something about that dude. I would love to find out what was in his head.
The Night Stalker. So here's another question for you. You and your wife are going out on the town.
Who am I going to watch the kids?
Who would you let watch your kids?
As soon as you said go out to dinner, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to have, who do I want to watch the kids?
Knowing that they can't harm them, but you still got to leave them with them.
Oh my gosh. We're talking serial killer here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go David Berkowitz. I mean, he didn't harm any children. I know you said they wouldn't harm him anyway, but I don't know. He was, that's a really tough one, dude. I mean, you don't want to say anybody,
no.
But if you got to pick somebody.
Yeah, I was thinking like Herb Baumeister, you know?
Yeah.
So I knew who I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want Gacy.
No, you definitely wouldn't want Gacy.
Because I'd never be able to leave the house again if that's the person you left your kids with, because he freaked them out. And they would never let, you know, even though he didn't do anything, they just were like, no, don't leave, don't go out.
You'd never be able to leave the house again?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's so many people to choose from. These questions are really tough because, you know, I'm thinking about who we've done. I'm thinking about people that we want to cover. I mean, obviously, there's nobody good. So you can just pick one and go on.
So out of the killers that we've covered, who's the most talented?
In what way?
Outside of what they're known for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who is the most that you know of that had, you know, either really strong potential or just in all the clips and research you've done said, man, this person's really talented. They had something.
Yeah. I mean, the first name that popped in my head, we haven't covered him, but the first person that popped into my head would be Bundy. I mean, if you think about serial killers that could have gone on to do great things.
Yeah.
He's probably at the top of the list. I know you asked me of the ones we've covered, and I'll try to think of that. But man, he was just a smart guy, charismatic, probably could have been a top attorney, could have run for office. He could have done a lot of things.
Yeah, possibilities.
He really did. I mean, there's a lot of people that we've covered that you would say, you know, this person, they were never going to do anything. You know, you never saw that they were headed in any direction at any point in their life.
Right.
So it's hard to pick, you know, most people. I guess if I had to pick one person, it would probably be, I guess you said him. I'll pick Herb Baumeister because the guy actually was successful, had made something out of himself.
Yeah, he had those store franchises.
Yeah, and he could have gone on to probably do some things, and he was already making a lot of money. He just chose to kill people.
Just a little thing on the side.
It's not good on your resume, man.
No, it doesn't look good. So, got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the killers you know.
Because I know a lot of them.
You know a lot of them.
Yeah. I know. I only know one. No,
yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah. Shh. So all of the ones you researched, did or did not do on the podcast, doesn't matter. Man crush.
Man crush.
Man crush.
Who do I have a man crush on?
Yep.
You know, I guess it would be, and some of this is based off of our female listener feedback too, because I really don't have a man crush on this guy, but I will say that Carrie Stainer was a pretty good looking dude. And because a lot of our female audience said the same in comments.
We sure did.
You know, he was a bad guy, but he's a pretty good looking dude.
Yeah.
But what about you?
Yeah, I don't have man crushes, man.
So you ask me the question, get me to actually say it.
Yeah.
And then just say, I don't have man crushes.
I don't have man crushes.
I see how it is.
Yeah.
That's what I get for letting you ask the question.
You thought I was going to say Scott Peterson, but I wasn't going to do it.
No, I didn't know what you were going to say, but I thought maybe you might say something after you made me say something.
Well, I knew you would say something because, you know, You had that sparkle in your eye.
No, as soon as you asked the question, I was all ears. Man, you know who else I'd like to sit down and talk to? I mean, we've talked about this a lot, but going back to the dinner question, I really think I would enjoy talking to Dennis Rader.
You know, I keep forgetting about him for some reason.
Well, we did him a very long time ago.
Yeah, but...
Or Kuklinski. I mean, that was episode number two. That guy was fascinating. I know.
Yeah, you weren't... I wouldn't want to be in the room with him.
No, that's true. Because he could kill you. And
yeah, I think he would I don't know.
Very quickly with his bare hands.
Put a splinter in me and I die or something.
I mean, really, you could make the case for all of these people of... And I said the word enjoy. That's probably not the right word. But you'd be hard not to be fascinated by... getting a glimpse inside their head.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me on some of them, how well they articulate what they did, how they did it with not much emotion, but they talk about it, you know, just so freely. Dom are terrible, terrible guy, man. But, you know, just the way he was talking about it, you know, it was like, I did it. I'm sorry. You know, do we believe him?
Yeah.
You know, but just the way he talked about it. I mean, you could see that you could probably have if you drink coffee, sit with him and have a cup of coffee or whatever, and just probably be intrigued by what he had to tell you.
Yeah. And I mean, Dennis Rader was the same way. We still get a lot of people talking about those clips because we played a lot of clips back then.
Yeah.
In that Dennis Rader, you know, that was very early on, but it was hard not to, because to hear him tell the story in the way that he tells it. I mean, if you think back, Gibbs, he talked about how he had a lot in common with people. It's just very strange the way that his mind worked.
His perception versus reality of what people thought of him was really different. But he really bought into how he thought people liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a strange, strange cat. We, you know, Mike Morford and I on the criminology podcast, we interviewed a woman who actually, I'm going to say, worked with Dennis Rader. It's probably not the right word, but she corresponded with him and she was studying him.
Okay.
And she was actually consulting with us on Zodiac because she knew a lot about Zodiac, but she knew a lot about Dennis Rader.
Yeah.
And she had some interesting stories, talked about how in his, you know, he fancied himself a code writer like Zodiac.
Right.
In that he would make codes up on like his toilet paper and send them to her because he didn't want the guards to be able to figure out what he was saying. She had a really good insight into him because she had talked to him quite a bit.
Yeah.
She's a fascinating woman. All right, Gibbs, what else? You got anything else for this holiday rambling?
I don't, man.
I don't either.
I just hope everybody has a really good holiday.
I do too. I do too. And, you know, getting back to kind of how we started the show, you know, it is that time, man. It's that time of the year. We should be doing it 365 days a year.
Yeah.
And I wish everybody could and would. And that would be great if we didn't have any more people to talk about.
Right.
That do these horrible things. It's never going to happen. Nope. We know it's not.
No.
But what I would ask is that, you know, for the what we call the TCAT family and our listeners, and, you know, let's be nice to each other, man. That's what I want. That's what I really, really, and I know our listeners are, but
yeah,
I just really want everybody to start being nicer to each other.
Be kind and rewind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't say, you know what? It doesn't take much. It really doesn't.
No, I mean, and
so give a smile, say hello.
We're all guilty. We're all guilty of certain things. I have bad days and I say things to people that I wish I hadn't said, yeah, and things that I wish I could take back and stuff like that.
But things roll off. You
yeah.
Know?
I need to do better at that too. Maybe that'll be my holiday.
My
New Year's resolution.
Yeah. That and the...
let things roll off.
The getting back into the gym.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think I'll try to be nicer to people.
Start there.
Let me start small.
I'll start there. Yeah.
That's a big ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'd be easier for me to just...
We'll leave it at that.
Be super nice.
And, yeah. See if you can just be nicer.
But we do. We want everybody to have a great holiday. And like we said, no matter what you celebrate or what country you're in, just have a great...
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, whatever it is. And hopefully you continue to enjoy what we're putting out, because we're going to keep putting it out and we're going to hit it hard in 2018.
You like putting it out, that's for sure.
Like Giv said, you know, we got a lot planned. We've got, you know, going to get back to some of the less well-known, sprinkle in some of the big timers.
Yeah. And we got like some big events, you know, CrimeCon.
CrimeCon.
The TCAT cruise. And
Giv is putting together a TCAT cruise.
That's right. TCAT cruise. Didn't we just do it? We just did the cruise line. Unsolved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a little worried about going on my next cruise.
We got to do TCAT Bahama style.
That'd be pretty fun.
Stay off the cruise line, but just like, you know, a little island in the Bahamas.
Dude, we can't even do a meetup in the U.S. somewhere.
We can't. That's true. We can't even do one in our hometown.
We can't afford to have a meetup in Ohio.
I know it.
But we got big dreams, right?
We do.
All right, so we got some voicemails.
We do.
You want to play those?
I think you ought to.
All right.
Hi, I love your podcast so much. My friend recommended it, and I've been listening nonstop. I recommend you do a case on Madeleine McCann or Lisanne Froom and Chris Kremers. Thank you.
I like it.
A lot.
I do.
No, it's a great voicemail.
Yeah, who was it?
I don't know. She didn't say her name.
You didn't leave your name, but we love you anyway.
Yeah, we do. She got turned on to the show and...
Good recommendation.
Good recommendation from somebody.
Yeah.
So we like that. We love hearing about that.
Yeah. And I love the accent.
Yeah. Love the accent. And she gave us some good cases to look at. Madeleine McCann's a very famous case. I have to look into those other two.
Hey, this is Chef in Memphis. Just wishing Mike and Givi a happy holiday. And maybe we'll send you some ribs from Memphis. Really enjoy your podcast and keep you on the clock ticking it.
He had us at ribs.
That's all I heard.
That's all I heard was ribs.
That in Memphis. I'm making a road trip.
Road trip, Memphis.
Yeah. Meet you over by Elvis's place and
get
then
some ribs.
You get some ribs.
All right. I'm into that one.
Oh my holy crap, you guys. I was laughing so hard. And it's terrible because it's not a podcast where I should be laughing at. I mean, okay, let me start. This is Letitia Upton in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. And when Givi said you hate it when anyone tells you you're pretty. Oh, my gosh. I've been laughing for 2 days. I'm totally binging your podcast. First, I binged True Crime until Thanksgiving, and now I'm binging Unsolved and then binge more. Anyway, love you guys. Keep up the funny stuff. Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. All right. Bye. Oh, Merry Christmas. Bye.
So thanks for the voicemail, Letitia. And Letitia, we email back and forth all the time. So I was happy to hear that she left a voicemail.
It was awesome.
And you crack her up.
I try to crack you up. And you do. And to crack some other people up.
And you do. And it's hard. It's hard to do, right? We talk about it. It's a very fine line between being respectful, cracking some jokes, busting on each other a little bit.
I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. It just comes out and, you know.
And if it's good, I leave it in. If it crosses the line.
You might take it out. I might take it out.
Just depends.
Hi, Mike and Givi. It's Megan from Minnesota. Just wanted to say hi. And I wanted to wish you a happy holiday. And I'm just, you know, driving for work like I do and listening to my two favorite guys. Listening to some old stuff today. But all right, you guys take care. Bye.
Oh, great voicemail from Megan. She's always driving.
I know. In Minnesota.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. Isn't it funny? If you listen to these voicemails, the range of accents.
Oh, I know.
So you have our, people think we have an accent.
I don't have an accent.
And then, you know, we have English. We have Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I love it. I love hearing all the different accents.
And I really like how Megan said, bye. Like she was like really like, you know, like pulling the phone away. Like she was like,
she's probably
walking away
in her car.
Wowie zowie, y'all. Back, I'm old. I'm old as the hill. So from West Texas near Lubbock. And that's not too far from where the Lincoln County Wars and Billy the Kid, all that happened. So 45 years ago, that's all I had to read. And my true crime was, you know, Kit Carson, Wild Bill Hickok, all those people were involved in my search for true crime. Of course, now I've got true crime and all that. Anyway, I stopped taking cable, fell a little bit behind, and I got TuneIn Radio, and I discovered true crime all the time. Y'all are great. Most of the cases I have heard about and know quite well, but you can't beat y'all's analysis. So more power to you. Go, 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 guys.
Go, go, Gadget Arms.
Go, go, Speed Racer.
So that was Paula. She actually left her name in another voicemail because she forgot to leave it.
I like her. She appreciates our analysis.
She does.
That means she appreciates my analysis.
I'm sure she does.
I just want to leave that out there.
Another range in the accent
Absolutely.
Department.
West Texas, man.
Awesome. Now, she said she was as old as the hills.
Which hill?
I don't know.
It all depends on what hill you're talking about.
But I love the story about her, you know, ditching cable, finding us on TuneIn Radio. It's just awesome. And you hear these stories about how people find out about us through their friends or, you know, doing a search for this or that. And then they stumble upon, they like it.
I don't even know what TuneIn Radio is.
Well, neither one of us are like super technology wizards. We've said that before.
Yeah.
But we are on TuneIn Radio. I make sure we're on all the outlets. You're just here for your analysis.
I'm just here for my analysis.
I make sure the podcast gets out the where it's supposed
to go. You do all that. I do the analysis.
Yeah, I don't even know what TuneIn Radio is.
What TuneIn Radio is, man.
You just sit there, look pretty, and do the analysis. I'll make sure that it gets out to where it's supposed to go.
I appreciate that.
All right. Well, that is it. We've rambled on long enough. Like we said in the previous episode, we were going to take the week off, and then we thought, you know what? Let's just do something a little fun, a little laid back. We have something to put out in case people are itching to listen to us over the Christmas time. So that's what we did.
Yeah. So I hope everybody has a great holiday. I hope you really enjoy those relatives when they come over and eat all your good stuff. And
get you some potato candy.
Get some potato candy. Look, I'm telling you, look it up.
Make it.
Potato candy.
Send it to Gibby.
It's really good. You appreciate it. Does have a lot of sugar in it.
And quite a bit of starch, according to
Gibby. And some starch, yeah.
All right. Well, we love you all. We appreciate everything that you've done for us. I hope everybody knows that. Because people say to us, Gibbs, all the time, they appreciate what we do. We appreciate them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm hoping everybody understands that. I know we've said it a bunch, but it's true.
Yeah.
We like what we do, but we couldn't keep doing it if it wasn't for all of you supporting us. And we got one more episode in 2017.
Going to go out with a bang.
That'll come out on New Year's Eve. Listen to it hungover probably on Monday or Tuesday.
We're listening to it New Year's Eve instead of listening to the, not Dick Clark, but
you're going to say Dick Clark.
rocking New Year's Eve.
They still call it Dick Clark's Rocking New Year's Eve, don't they?
With Ryan Seacrest or whatever. Yeah. Well, listen to...
Even though he passed away, I think they still call it that.
Listen to Rocking New Year's Eve with Mike and Gibby.
All right. So that's it for another episode of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. So for Mike...
And Gibby.
Stay safe and keep your own time ticking.